Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Kicked On. The Buffalo Bills welcome Derek Anderson to their quarterback room.
To help us win football games any way we can. Very excited about it. Obviously, I got a lot of work to do learning the offense and help Josh in any way I can, and Nate as well. Just anything that I see during the week. Obviously, it's a little bit tough for me right now, just not having all the terminology down completely yet, but I'm working my tail off and excited about it.
Anderson in to help Josh Allen and Nathan Peterman. Peterman's still on the roster at this point. And Dean Marlowe, who was cut to make room for Derek Anderson, has been re-signed to the practice squad. And the Bills cut an offensive lineman from that. ESPN's John Clayton suggests that Anderson could be here for a little bit more than just helping in the quarterback room.
I think you take the quarterback out. I mean, again, you can't do it this week. You may need an extra week or two, but I think within 2 weeks, if Derek Anderson can pick everything up and be ready, you get him ready to go out there and give Josh Allen a break. You don't want to break Josh Allen.
Find that on demand at WGR550.com. Trey White, Micah Hyde, and Raphael Bush were all limited yesterday. For Trey White, a minor ankle injury to keep an eye on. For the Texans, Deshaun Watson has been limited because of a chest injury, but he says he's going to play Sunday. Lamar Miller, also nursing an injury, says the same. The Sabres close out their season-opening homestand tonight with the Avalanche in town.
Well, I think it's really important that we don't get complacent. We focused on that today about getting back to work and executing. Certainly, Colorado's a very, very good hockey team. They're a playoff team. They've got tremendous speed, and we've seemed to face some fast teams. So again, it goes back to what can we control, and I think our guys have handled that really well. But we got a tough test tomorrow. It'd be great to finish the homestand on a high note, but we're going to have to put in 60 minutes of hard work.
Sabres head coach Phil Housley tonight. Could be Carter Hutton, could be Linus Allmark. Housley said yesterday they would decide today. Face-off, 7 o'clock. Pregame is at 6. I'm Jeremy White, WGR Sports Radio 550.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Hey guys, your intro to your segments really sucked. Childish, unprofessional, a lot of yelling and screaming. How about growing up, huh?
Howard Simon. Jeremy White.
Whee!
On WGR.
High five and slapping butts.
Sports Radio 550.
That's what we do. Thursday is high five and slapping butts day. We just don't really publicize it. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. We are going to talk a little football here. Interesting story I want to share with you. There's an event coming up, actually a week from tonight, called the Courage to Come Back Awards Banquet. It's going to be held next Thursday at Samuel's Grand Manor. Thurman Thomas will be there among the folks that will be on hand talking about his comeback. But also, we're going to talk with Keith O'Neill. Now, Keith was a star at Sweet Home High School, went on to the NFL, played for the Dallas Cowboys, played for the Indianapolis Colts, was eventually diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And he's going to be sharing his story. It's about mental illness, dealing with it, and being aware of it and seeking treatment for it. He's also got a book out called Under My Helmet that tells his story. And Keith is here in studio with us. Welcome. Nice to have you here in studio, first of all. Actually, let me just, we'll make sure mic 4, and we'll turn that on. Okay, now you're good to go. So I guess in terms of your story, let's start. So you were diagnosed with bipolar disorder. In layman's terms, what is bipolar disorder? Honestly, I bet there are a lot of sports fans who go, oh, yeah, that the guy from the Raiders who disappeared the night before the Super Bowl, right?
Barrett Robbins?
Yeah,
Barrett,
that's right.
Had bipolar disorder,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
It's a very complicated disorder, but in layman terms, it's a mood disorder. You fluctuate from euphoria, feeling great, to depression. But there's a lot of stuff in between, like anxiety, racing thoughts, obsession, obsessional thinking. For me, I can speak for me, I get a lot of depression and anxiety. And also, I fluctuate, my moods fluctuate. It's very tricky to treat, but I am on the path to wellness, I think. So
I was watching the story. Channel 2 did a great feature on your story. And they had a stat, 44% of adults diagnosed with mental illness actually get treatment. Why do the other 56% not get treatment? Is there a stigma? Are you afraid to go say something or search out for treatment?
I think there's a couple of reasons. And I think number one is stigma, not being wanting to be diagnosed with a mental illness. I mean, I can say it. Who wants to walk up to someone and say, hey, I'm bipolar? People look at you kind of funny sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I think not knowing what's going on, and that happened with me as well. I didn't know what my symptoms were. I just thought it was me. I didn't know it was an illness. I didn't know it was a mental illness. I didn't know it was bipolar. I knew I had some anxiety, but I didn't know what was going on inside my brain, inside my head, was bipolar all along. So,
how long had you had experienced some kind of symptom?
My whole life, 30 years until I got diagnosed. 30 years. Wow. As far back as I can remember, as a child, my first symptoms were of insomnia, laying in bed at night, not being able to sleep. My brain would just race and not be able to turn off. I had anxiety and depression as a child, suicidal thoughts. For reasons I don't even know why, I was depressed at times. Now, this is not all the time. I was a normal, however you define normal, normal kid playing baseball, collecting baseball cards and stuff. But, my symptoms go back as far as I can remember.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
How did the diagnosis come about?
It was after I retired from the NFL, and I actually did retire because of my symptoms. I didn't know what was going on, and my wife and I got pregnant. And she miscarried. And just the change in the chemicals in my brain or something just triggered a manic episode, which means I kind of just went, I really went off the deep end with euphoria and thinking things were great and spending money. And that turned into psychosis, which means I lost touch with reality. I started hallucinating and seeing things that really weren't there. And I mean, obviously that's, a big red flag, and went into the doctor and was diagnosed with bipolar 1 disorder.
I was going to ask you, 30 years. So this is the moment you finally go into the doctor. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to sound crass. What took so long? You knew something was wrong with you. You waited 30 years, and all of a sudden, finally, you got something that triggered that response of, I need to go talk to somebody about that.
There was really no other thing. There's nothing else to do besides go to a doctor at this point. Yeah. When I was playing in the NFL, I went to my coaches and to my trainers and ask them for help. But, when you're playing at such a high level and it's, stressful already, people just think that's what it is. Oh, he's just stressed out. He can't sleep because he's playing in the NFL. He's an undrafted free agent, blah, blah, blah. But I just, myself, my wife, my parents, the people around me and my family, we just thought it was who I was. It was just my personality,
So no one in your circle said, hey, maybe you should go on the internet, do some research, go see it. No, I mean, there wasn't that discussion of, hey, Keith, you really need to go find somebody.
Never. Never. It's, looking back now, we kind of are like, I can't believe, all along this is what it was.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. But we never, we were, most people, including myself and my family, and are just uneducated about mental illness.
I would throw myself in that list too. I thought it was interesting. One of the things that I found very interesting about your story from the Channel 2 feature was, so you get to the NFL, your dream, your dad played in the NFL, so it might have been even more special for you to make it to the National Football League. And yet, because you were dealing with what you didn't realize at the time, the bipolar disorder, you never really enjoyed your experience in the NFL. And you end up getting a Super Bowl ring, which, by the way, he's wearing today. He has his called Super Bowl ring here in studio.
I'm not going to say I didn't enjoy it, but there was times I didn't enjoy it and would rather have been doing something else. It was hard to enjoy it, but, don't get me wrong. The perks that go playing in the NFL, I understood what I was getting and living my dream and playing on Sunday whistle to whistle, I enjoyed. But the stress and the pressure and the sleepless nights and the symptoms that I dealt with, I didn't like playing in the NFL, and I ended up retiring because of it.
So you, when you were in Dallas, you played for Bill Parcells, one of the legendary coaches in the sport. What was it like to play for him?
It was tough. It was very tough. I came in as an undrafted free agent his first year in Dallas, so he was trying to make himself, stand out and do his thing. And but one thing I always say about Coach Parcells is he was very fair, and I knew that I had a chance to make it if I could prove myself and work hard and stand out and play special teams, and that's what happened. I ended up making it as an undrafted free agent, as a special teamer.
I wonder if the cutthroat world of the NFL, you're talking about mental health awareness, it's got to be such a roller coaster on rosters. It's got to be mentally and emotionally difficult. I mean, I'm thinking about any player, you know, just even before talking to you, the Bills have this guy, Dean Marlowe, who's with them all of camp, and then he gets cut, and then he's on the team, and then he's cut, and then he's on the practice squad. It seems like that unstable lifestyle has got to be very taxing.
Yeah, the NFL is bipolar itself. I mean, one day I was playing for the Cowboys under Coach Parcells and his strict routine. I get cut. That night I'm in Indianapolis playing for Coach Tony Dungy, who is the complete opposite. And I had to, you know, adjust everything about how I did everything and how everyone does everything within the organization. You gotta adjust on the go, and there's no time to, you know, they get rid of the guys that can't adjust. You know,
you said you were diagnosed 8 years ago.
Yes.
Okay. So in these last 8 years, how has your life changed, and how are you feeling these days?
You know, it's an ongoing battle. I'll be honest. My life has changed dramatically. I was awarded total and permanent disability through the NFL. It's a benefit that's provided to vested football players that for some reason or another can't work. I've been very fortunate to be able to stay home with my sons and focus on my mental health, which is always fluctuating.
Getting your story out. And it's actually, before we do that, we were talking before the update, and you brought up Robin Leonard. We had talked about his story a couple of weeks ago because he had written about it. You read that story, right? And it reminded you of you?
Oh, absolutely. I actually got a text message from my neighbor, sent it to me, and I read it. And I'm always reading about mental health and other people's stories and how they get through it and what they're doing to cope. And I read Robin's story, and it just hit home, like, hard. I read it a couple times because it sounded just like my story. And even though there were some things that were different, you know, he went through a lot of the same things I did.
Is part of the recovery, or I don't know if recovery is even the right word, telling your story, like being able to talk about it, does that help make a difference?
Or? Absolutely. You know, I'm always open to talk with people and share my story. And they say, you know, storytelling saves lives, you know, and it does. And there's a lot of people out there struggling who need to hear that other people, you know, are going through the same thing they are. So.
And the book is out, available, right? Under My Helmet is the name of the book. And that tells your story. So hopefully... Mm-hmm. You know, was it Kyle Aposo when he was on with us? I thought he said something about how since his story came out, he's heard, you know, from a couple or three people who said, yeah, I knew something was wrong and I went to get treatment or talk to somebody. So I take it, you know, your story getting out like that, this is what you're trying to do. You're trying to get other people to go seek some help and not try and do everything yourself and keep it inside.
Absolutely. I think if you can go take the initial step, talk to somebody, a family member, a counselor or coach, about if you're having, you know, suicidal thoughts or just any kind of mental health issues, anxiety, depression, it really helps.
Appreciate you coming in.
Thanks
for telling everybody here your story.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Keith O'Neill joining us here. And again, if you want to go, it's next Thursday. It's called the Courage to Come Back Awards Dinner. And it's going to be at Samuel's Grand Manor. Keith will be there. Thurman Thomas is going to be there. Alex Newts, who used to play at the University at Buffalo, is going to talk about his story as well. Actually, I will get you before I don't want to give anything out, for I'm not sure about tickets and information. I will get you the proper information on that for that event. All right. Well, I'm going to escort him out. So
all right.
Just give me a second here.
Sure. Our phone number, 803-0550. We've got a couple of callers in the line that can talk about this with us as well. And if you have a thought on what the Bills do from here with McCoy and with Derek Anderson, that's something else we've talked about a lot this morning. Ryan in North Carolina. Ryan, good morning. You're on WGR.
Hey, good morning. I was just going to talk as far as what Keith was talking about and then get into the Bills a little bit.
But yeah, sure.
My mother was bipolar and, you know, didn't really exhibit itself till she was about, you know, 44 or 45, and I think it was like a big change where we had moved away from where her first husband had passed away. And when we moved, it was that initial shift. You know, a lot of times you have structure built in that you don't realize is very, you're dependent upon. So, and then just the episodes and everything, it's just very difficult for a family to cope with. You don't know what to do because it's just not something, mental health is just not addressed very much. Just like, well, mom's sad or mom's really tired or, you know, mom gets a little, little hyper sometimes.
Right.
And it's very difficult for a child to comprehend. And like my dad tried to cope, you know, figuring out, because she would go spend all this money or, you know, just do things like the euphoria. And he's like, what are you doing? I don't know what to do. You know, and then you have like suicide attempts and things like that. That was just, you know, very uncomfortable. But, you know, I just very much sympathize with Keith. As far as Shady, I really think we should hang on to Shady. I think he's been really good to Buffalo, and I think he deserves to stay here. You know, obviously if there's something where they're going to give us a ridiculous, you know, pick, like a second round or maybe a third and a fourth or something, that was a great deal. Bean's always open for business, I feel like. But I just feel like that'd be saying, hey, this season is for naught, and, you know, we're going to let Josh take his lumps. But, you know, also you got the relationship with Josh Allen and Shady. I don't really want to break that up, as encouraging as they are to one another.
Yep. And thanks for sharing that, Ryan, the story regarding your mother and everything as well. On the relationship between McCoy and Allen, you know, it's interesting to see when young quarterbacks come in how they are received. It's not unique to Allen right now. There's a story on ESPN, and I'm just saying this as it's always encouraging to see this, that McCoy says he's going to be good. Just wait. Mm-hmm. You'll see. And there's a story on ESPN about Rosen, how his teammates, same thing. They're like, yeah. Oh, Larry Fitzgerald said he's going to be great. He'll be here for 10 years. So I think it's important to get your teammates to believe in you early on. And however you do that, that can be through Ben Roethlisberger. He did it by winning his first 13 starts, you know. I can specifically remember when Roethlisberger got that job, Alan Faneca at the time was asked about it. And he said, no, I'm not excited. He's a rookie. Right. And then he won every game.
Right.
So you get over it. So sometimes you win people over by winning. Other times you win it by your work ethic or the kind of person that you are. So I think that's, if nothing else, that's probably a good sign that Alan seems to have people in there that like him and that believe in him to some degree. That said, you know, we'll see. I think he might have to keep his play at a certain level. That you can only go so far until if the ball's not getting out and I've got to demonstrably upset Zay Jones or Andre Holmes or whoever. Like, why isn't the ball getting here?
We've gone down this road before with other quarterbacks where you see receivers kind of, their head slumps a little bit, their shoulders droop, and they just kind of like, oh, my goodness.
Yep. So I think that there's a great... It's a great sign that he has that support. And most of our conversation about Derek Anderson, the idea that he could start games, that's if Allen loses that. And if Allen doesn't make progress in the next month, which I'm not telling you he won't, but this whole conversation about could Anderson see time as the starter, I think the answer is yes, because Allen has to take what he already has and he has to get better with it. He has to improve, or else... Now there's a viable option behind him, or at least a more viable option than the guy that was there and that is still there.
And that's the key phrase, a more viable option, because I think as long as, you know, even with the Green Bay game, okay, the low point of the very early portion of Josh Allen's Bills career, the low point clearly is the Green Bay game. Not once that the game end, I never thought, boy, they might have to go back to Peterman. No, it's not an option, in my opinion. So... I would let Josh Allen play through this. You know, the whole discussion about Anderson, should he play? Josh Allen, could you ruin him? I'm not at a point right now where I would say, boy, it is affecting this kid. And he's developing bad habits, and he's now too scared in the pocket. I'm not at that point. If it got to that point, sure, then it probably would be best for him to come out of the lineup. I'm not there. I think he should play through it. To me, the discussion about the McCoy trade... Not to tie in Anderson, but the McCoy trade to me is big here, because I'd want to know, first off, what's the offer? If the Eagles have called and you're willing to listen to trade LeSean McCoy for whatever reason, what's the offer? And if it's a day three pick, whatever, a fifth round pick, I'm not going to. But if they're offering a second or a third, I'd be really interested in doing that, because I don't think LeSean McCoy is. He's certainly not getting another contract. I'm not convinced he's here next year either. But the McCoy discussion about the trade does directly correlate to, what are you doing with Josh Allen? Is he playing? Are you going to let him grow, go through the growing pains? What are you doing with your offense? Is last week's plan, now going to be the philosophy of this offense, where you're going to have a 2-to-1 run-to-pass ratio. You're really going to try and protect Josh. You're worried about his development. You're worried about the sacks. You think, you know, the reps, this might be doing more harm than good, so we really have to lean on the running game and simplify the offense and only ask Josh to make a certain number of fairly safe throws. Well, if that's going to be the offensive philosophy going forward, then I probably wouldn't trade LeSean McCoy. If you're going to allow Josh some freedom to do some things, once he shows, okay, he managed the Green Bay game, he's improving on a weekly basis, he's understanding coverages, his reads are a little bit better, we're going to open it up a little bit, we'll let him throw the ball. Well, then I don't think it's that important to have LeSean McCoy getting 24 carries a game. So the McCoy thing to me is two-pronged. It's what's the offer, and what exactly are you doing with the offense going forward? Are you going to be going heavy run? Well, then it probably makes sense to keep LeSean McCoy around, and if you wanted to trade him, you can, I guess, wait to the offseason and see if there's any value at that point.
Let me read you a tweet here. There's no path back from a scenario in which Allen is yanked for Anderson. It was established and placed an exclamation point on the complete and utter incompetence associated with this regime's choice to roll with Peterman as the one to start the season. I'm going to pick that in two parts. There's no path back from a scenario in which Allen is yanked for Anderson. I do not believe that for one single second, and I think it's the hottest take in the world. The idea that if Allen came out because he doesn't look ready, that there's no path back from that? No, the path would be established. He would get another opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
To tell me there's no path back from that? No chance. The rest of it? Sure, fine. If you want to say it would indicate that they might not have had the best plan or that their plans didn't go the way they wanted to.
They brought
fine.
In Derek Anderson. He has already indicated they didn't have the best plan.
Maybe.
In my opinion.
Maybe he's just, listen, if Allen just grows from here and Anderson is the backup or Anderson's the guy that helps teach him, great. Then everything worked out and their audible along the way to bring in mm-hmm. Anderson works and is a great move and they'll get credit for that. But I do not support the idea of Allen coming out. I do support the idea of holding him to a standard and not acting like every single thing that happens is definitely good. It's definitely good. You know, Sean McDermott said yesterday, you know, this is complimenting to the point of it doesn't mean anything anymore. Whatever. I hope, I don't want to sound like I'm picking on the coach, but he said there's a lot of guys with good resumes that don't have a drive like Allen.
I saw that.
Name one.
Everybody has a drive like that.
Name one guy who's got a good resume at quarterback that doesn't have that drive.
Everybody's had fourth quarter game winning drives.
And if you want to say Baker Mayfield doesn't have that, fine. He doesn't have a good resume yet. Like any quarterback with a good resume, you don't have a resume mm-hmm. until you have a drive like that.
I'm going to guess Blake Bortles has game winning drives.
Sure. And listen, it was a perfect drive.
Mm-hmm.
They ran the clock all the way down. They got in field goal range. He made two key passes. I'm not taking anything away from him. But let's not pretend that there are guys with good resumes that haven't made two passes on a drive.
Yeah.
So, whatever. That's just a non sequitur there. I do not for a second believe it will ruin his confidence and it will kill him if he is pulled. The Bills love to point out he was a zero-star recruit. If that didn't kill him, how would this kill him? He didn't get big college offers. If that didn't kill him, how would this kill him? He's been doubted his whole career. Isn't that part of the thing they like about him? So I still don't want him to come out. If he were to struggle for the next month and come out, it does not mean it is over for him. He's going to get an opportunity next year and maybe two, three games later. And again, he might not ever even come out. So that's a long way for me to say, don't try to sell me on the idea that they could never come back from taking him out. No way.
I thought about it. I did. I think one of the many things we would have discussed over the summer is if he won the job and he struggled, could you take him out? Look, I think if the Green Bay performance shows up more often, yeah, my guess is they'll reach a point where they'll take him out. It was that bad. But the nice thing is he bounced back a little bit from Green Bay to Tennessee. Now, go from Tennessee to Houston and be better than you were against Tennessee. You need to throw for more yards. We need to see, again, you know, we need to see more accuracy from him. We do need to see him improve over the course of the season. I've set the bar very low for Josh Allen, but it doesn't mean there's no bar for Josh Allen. I mean, he does have to show progress. And now, with Derek Anderson in a more viable backup, I could see the Bills doing that. I'll agree with you from this standpoint. I think you can take him out and put him back in and he won't be scarred for life. What I don't want is yo-yo. I don't want him coming out and then going in a couple weeks and he plays bad and coming out and give him one more shot and then he comes. I don't want to do that. If you take him out, let him sit for a while. Let him watch Derek Anderson. I wouldn't say, well, we'll take him out for a week and then we'll put him in. And if he doesn't do well in that game, well, we'll take him out for a couple weeks and then we'll put him back in. If he doesn't do, let him sit for a little while if you're going to pull him and let him learn from Anderson. And it might be the rest of the season or it might be December and you're 4-whatever and you think, you know what, last game or two, what is it? I think the Jets and Dolphins maybe at the back end of the schedule. We'll throw them in there and see what the kid can do. Get a little taste again before we get into the offseason. 8030, but I, at this point, he'd have to revert to take him out, barring injury, obviously. He'd have to revert to the Green Bay game is now the norm, where he just looks completely flustered and doesn't know what he's doing out there. And create some problems that weren't there, but it's because he's panicking in the pocket. Like, that game has to be the standard Josh Allen game for me to think about, okay, it's too much for him, take him out.
Get some calls on this on the other side?
Yeah, but they put him in. You might as well play the kid. He's in. 803-0550. Sorry about that. It's 9:30. Yeah, we'll take a quick break, and we'll get to your calls. Here's your code word. Text the word ZOO to 72881, ZOO. There you go. Message and data rates may apply. You have until 10 o'clock. If you text the word ZOO to 72881, you have a chance to win $1,000 from our national win cash contest. Mike, Rick, Anthony, guys, hold on. You're up next on WGR.
I got a lot of work to do learning the offense and help Josh in any way I can and Nate as well. You know, just anything that I see during the week, you know, obviously it's a little bit tough for me right now with just not having all the terminology down completely yet, but I'm working my tail off and excited about it.
I'm trying to think. I keep hearing another voice in Derek Anderson. He sounds like a cross between Peyton Manning and Drew Brees. I don't know. He started out talking. I thought, hey, that's Peyton Manning. And then I was listening to him and said, that sounds like Drew Brees. All right, I'm crazy. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Mike in Amherst, you're on WGR. Thanks for holding on. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
And Howard, I thought he sounded like Peyton Manning, too, actually.
When it first started, he sounded like Peyton. Okay, good. I'm not crazy.
So, I don't want to sound like I'm down on Allen or like I'm trying to hate on him, but... You know, and I'm happy we won, but that last drive, I don't know. He made, I'm not sure, every play, but did he make, what, like two passes and the rest were?
On the last drive, yeah. It was two passes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know why we're giving him so much credit for the game-winning drive when he's just handing it off to the guys. And, you know, he made a good screen pass out to McCoy, but I don't know. I feel like it wasn't all that impressive, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, it's not going down in the record books as anything historical, but he made a couple passes that needed to be made, and a week prior, I'm not sure that he would have been able to make those passes.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he would. I will give him some credit. Listen, I mean, he hit McLeod with a nice quick pass right when he had to do it, and sure, McCoy did more of the work on the third and three than Josh Allen did. I get that.
Norman doesn't.
Huh?
You get kind of, you know, a little bit of hope there, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you're just looking for small moments. I mean... I've told this story before, and this is kind of how I approach evaluating a young quarterback, too. So after the Minnesota game, we were all giddy, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because it was a great performance. He was incredible. His Superman dive,
right.
the jump leap over the linebacker. Right. He threw a touchdown on a beautiful, beautifully designed play. Like, I was over the moon excited about the offense and about Allen after the Minnesota game. I'm not going to drum that up if I don't really feel that. And I guess the way the story is, when I was in college, I had a professor, John Nicholson, and I submitted to him a play-by-play tape of, boy, who would have played? Henniger and Utica Proctor in Syracuse basketball.
Yeah, high school basketball game. Okay.
By the way, you know who played in that game? Former Saints defensive end Will Smith.
Really?
Yeah.
He went to
I didn't know he might have gone to Utica Proctor.
Okay.
He went to Ohio State. Anyway, he played basketball in that game. So anyway, I'm going through the evaluation of my play-by-play tape with Professor Nicholson. And somebody hit a three-pointer at the buzzer at the end of half, or there was a dunk or whatever. It was an exciting play.
Yep.
And I went bonkers, right? Like, it was way up there.
Yeah.
And he said, this is good, but do you have anything past this? Like, you've got to leave yourself some place to go.
Right.
If you say he was amazing after a drive like that, you've already peaked. You've peaked.
So it wasn't like a game-winning basket.
No, it wasn't. And again, it's a regular season game. And his advice was, leave yourself somewhere to go. There needs to be, just like with a quarterback, there's a ceiling somewhere.
Right.
And if you're already at the ceiling on a drive where he completed two passes, then what else is there for you? You're not doing it right. So, you know, that drive was perfect for what it needed to be. And credit is deserved for that. Maybe this week they're in Houston and they can't run the ball and they need a drive to get a field goal. And he throws six passes to get them from their own 12 to the 37. And then there's a bomb kick. That's going to be a hell of a lot more impressive. We've only seen four games. How much have you seen that is encouraging? Some. How much have you seen that is discouraging?
More.
Some.
I would say more than some.
Maybe more. Maybe
I would
not
say the majority. There's been more, for me, there's been more bad than good at this point.
And maybe you expected that. But, yeah, like that's why when McDermott said there's not a lot of guys that have drives like that, I thought, yes, there are.
I think
he deserves credit for sure. It was a perfectly executed drive, and the run game did a lot of it. But he made two plays, and that's worth, I don't know.
And they needed those plays.
It's like the conversation between overrated and underrated. You know what that drive was? It's rated. It wasn't an overrated drive. It wasn't an underrated. It's rated. He did well.
Well, that's
they did well, and they won.
When you tweeted out the other day, what was the tweet? Like, the win over Tennessee.
You beat who's on the field in front of you.
The tweet was something about the win over Tennessee meant, or whatever. You left it open-ended for people to read. It was a win. It wasn't a seminal moment. It wasn't the coming out party. It wasn't any of that stuff. But I thought, at the very least, to our previous caller, for the kid's confidence, okay? He was coming off a horrible game in Green Bay. He and the offense. He was bad. They were bad. The game stunk. I mean, the offense was terrible. So his confidence had to be pretty low, I would think. So you come back, you play the next week. Sure, they don't win the game because of Josh Allen's arm. He was asked to make a couple simple throws, but whatever, he made it. You know, he didn't miss LeSean McCoy on the screen. He didn't, on the quick hit to Ray McCloud, boom, right where it needed to be. A second and six, put it where it needs to be. Guy runs after catch, first down, drive continues. So there were only two plays, but he made them. I mean, for me, from where he was a week before, he can walk out of the stadium Sunday knowing we won the game. And the offense was put in a position with 4.5 minutes to go, or whatever the heck it was, where they had to get some points, or else they were going to lose the football game. Now, I'm sure there were a number of people who felt when they got the ball, yeah, I know it's only a field goal, but good luck. This is our offense. We're not getting 3 points out of this. Hausch would have to kick from 70 yards out. They went upfield. He's out there. He hits a couple passes. They get the field goal. They win the game. I think he feels good about himself after that. So for me, that's all I would say about it. Again, I wouldn't read a lot into it, but it's a good moment for him. And, for a guy who, as I said, I think it's been more bad than good in the regular season. There are a lot of things I liked about him at training camp and in the preseason. Some of the throws he was making then, he's not making now. You know, and I don't know if it's, you know, they're coaching him to dial it down, or he's become maybe tentative because of some failures, but he was seemingly throwing with more confidence in the summer at camp and in the preseason games than he has in the last couple of weeks. In Minnesota, he looked confident, you know, in that first half. I thought he was pretty sure of himself. They're going down, they score right away, they get short fields, they cash those in for more points, and I thought he looked pretty sure of himself. The last two games, even in victory, he hasn't. And he's not making throws that I guess he can make. So it's little victories. A win was important. The drive was important. Completing two passes, the only two passes you were asked to make on a 10-play drive, whatever it was, is a little victory in my mind for Josh Allen. So that's how I'm okay with that stuff for now. Like I said, my bar is incredibly low. Now it raises a little bit higher against Houston than it was against the Tennessee Titans. The bar is not this Sunday, just don't vomit over yourself. It's make some plays in the passing game. 803-0550 to join us. We'll get to Anthony in Buffalo. Anthony, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It's pretty funny. I use a different name every time I call you guys. I call you every morning just so I don't know you with the same name.
Okay. Sure. Why not? Well, you got a lot of names to choose from, so.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I just like talking to you guys and getting your insight and stuff. It's pretty cool. But so far as Keith O'Neill, I graduated at Toledo High School, played football. We won two state champions. And personally, for myself, I just want to make a quick comment on, you know, with bipolarness. And I'm not going to mention names, but there was a couple kids on my team that were like that. And it's not that they needed special attention or anything else like that. It's just when you're on a football team, you have to bond off the field as much as you do on and in the locker room. And Coach John Faller, who was the head coach for my team, I'm the utmost respect towards anybody. You had a problem, you can go to him with anything. And I just as far as, you know, you're saying he had to wait 30 years because he felt pressured and, you know, other things that may have came to his mind. I can personally relate to that. I didn't have bipolar, but I am very, I was diagnosed with ADHD. And I have a hard time with concentrating on different things. And just for his program, he developed a fundamental routine that I would get into before every single game day. And I would just set my tone, and it changed my persona on a lot of different things. So I just wanted to make a quick comment on that. But also, you said raising the bar on Josh Allen now for expectations and for him being a developed quarterback in the NFL. I totally agree with you. My quick comment on that is, how many passes in an average game that the Bills have do you see go for more than 20 yards? But personally, for me, the bar that I would have to judge and evaluate Josh Allen was everything that's around him. There's no really wide receiver core. You know, we didn't have that. I know with Tyrod Taylor, we had three of the same receivers. Andre Holmes, I know that was one of them, and there's two others that we still had the same. But the thing is, how could you really evaluate the quarterback when there's really nothing around you?
You can. I think you can have. You can still evaluate how he's running the. Look, it's not like every pass play the Bills run, no one's ever open. There are plays where they have guys open and he doesn't find them.
And they scheme guys open. And on that final drive, that pass to Ray McLeod is a perfect example. That's a scheme blitz beater there, right? McLeod comes
blitzed
over
up
to
the quick, middle. Yep.
Yeah, they blitz up the middle, pass to the outside. McLeod gets a gain. I don't think anybody is suggesting that they have to have 350 yards passing. They had 82, and it comes down to this.
You don't get a free pass for this year.
If their offensive coordinator thinks we're not seeing progress, he needs... I mean, we do this in other sports. Whatever, we've said it a bunch of times. I don't want it to be confused with, I think it should happen. That's not my opinion, that I think it should happen. My opinion is, or my belief is, I absolutely think the Bills are open to it.
I think, just real quick, Anthony, before we get to the break, you can evaluate him no matter what. You can does he look like he knows what he's doing? Does he understand what they're teaching, what they're coaching? Is he getting better at reading defenses? How is his decision making? Does he look calm in the pocket? Is there ghost pressure? Like is he bolting out of the pocket when there's no reason to bolt out of the pocket? You know, the whole spinning around with his back to the defense, taking his eyes off the field of play to try and keep a play going. There are open receivers. Look, Kelvin Benjamin, there were at least two throws last week where an accurate pass is a catch for Kelvin Benjamin. But he missed him, flat out missed him. So, yeah, you can absolutely judge him. And, you know, again, how does he look? Oh, he was really nervous against Green Bay. Okay, he wasn't the nervous, jumpy kid against Tennessee, even though there were only 82 yards passing. He looked a little more comfortable out there, you know, in terms of handling everything. So, for sure, I'm pretty sure they're going to blow up the receiving core in the offseason. But there's no free pass. You can't say, forget what you're seeing from Josh Allen. It means nothing. You can still figure out if he's getting better week to week, assuming he plays every week to week in this offense. Thank you for the call. 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550. We have Bills and Houston coming up Sunday here on WGR. Here's the schedule, 7 o'clock Fantasy Breakfast, 8 o'clock Game Day with Jeremy and Nate. I've got Countdown to Kickoff at 10, Bills in Houston, 1 o'clock kick, Shope and the Bulldog on the postgame show, and Nate is back with the Real Deal Overtime Show at 6. That's our Bills-Texans coverage Sunday on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, we're going to go through the hashtag Sabres banners. Howard, I want you to just approve or disapprove, and should the Sabres put up these banners?
Go ahead.
Jim Lorenz, undefeated against Rodents.
No, disapprove.
That was from Max. Okay. Antonio, undefeated in Winter Classic regulation time.
Approve!
Okay. Matthew, lost both co-captains in a matter of hours.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, yeah, I approve.
Okay, more Sabres banners, because we found out, you know, Nashville puts up a banner for Western Conference regular season champions. The Sabres need more banners. Let's put up some banners. Another banner. Hosted an Erie Otters game.
Sadly, I'll approve that one.
Okay.
With McDavid. Wouldn't it say with McDavid? That's
no,
the point.
Just, no. Okay. Hosted an Erie Otters game.
Okay.
Let's go for a couple more here.
Nothing about the tank.
The tank worked.
There we go. Yep. Of course, you got to put that one up.
Ryan Miller received a standing ovation in Pittsburgh after the Olympics. Hashik for Beauregard.
Now, that's a good banner.
That's a banner.
That's a banner.
Steve Ott was our captain.
No.
I like Steve
like
Ott
really?
Licked the guy while wearing
that's
the seat.
A better banner.
Okay, those are some good banners. Right. We got offer sheeted.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you like that one, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it did happen.
All right.
Go to the hashtag on Twitter. Have some fun.
All right.
Have a good day.
Instigators are next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.